Greetings to each of you in Jesus' precious name this morning. As Brother Anthony was sharing in the devotional, my thoughts initially went to, we're going to have a shift here in the message. But the reality is, what he shares and what I'm about to share just gives us the urgency of the hour. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter 3. My message title this morning is The Day of the Lord is Coming. And what I want to challenge us with as we go through this message, how many times did you think about that this week? Did that realization make a difference in how you lived this week? And I am, many times said, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. I changed that just a little bit. I may be the son of a prophet, but I'm not a prophet, and I don't profess to have a deep understanding of future events. I'm sure there's many of you here who could run circles around me in your understanding of that. But I do know the day of the Lord is coming. It's sure. Time is short. We have this window of opportunity to make a difference in our lives by the power of God, and to touch the lives of others here and now. My prayer is that this message could encourage the saint and convict the sinner of time coming to an end. Okay, let's read 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. I think the burden we see manifested here, and the burden God has laid on my heart this morning, is complacency. We sang in our first song, we're marching to Zion. That's something active. That's something we're doing. It speaks of progress, going forward. But brethren and sisters, many times we act like we're on a boat floating down the stream. That's complacency. Christ is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. And if that thought really grips our hearts, it will make a difference in what you and I do today. And I'm speaking to myself, because so many times it's easy to go through a week and spend little time thinking about Christ's return. The day of the Lord is coming. As we look at this text here, we're going to look at it in an expository fashion. And I've split the message this morning into three main points. Remember, and we could preface all this with the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. Remember, the day of the Lord is coming. Point number two, what it means for the sinner. And then number three, the day of the Lord is coming, how the saint should respond. So we're going to look at remember. What did Peter call us to remember? He said, first of all, let's remember the words of the prophets and the apostles. God has told us. He has given us a glimpse of what to expect, and he has told us what to do about it. The words of the apostles, as we study into them, they tell us what to do about our lives today. If we really believe that the day of the Lord is coming. Second thing that we're to remember is the universe is in constant change. Why do we need to remember that? So many times, as here in verse 4, people look around and say, all things continue as they were from the beginning. I have several sub-points here that we can pick out here of the change, constant change of the universe. Number one, it didn't always exist. The universe as we know it was created. God created it. It wasn't always. It was created. It was spoken into being. It was made by God. Second subpoint here, kind of tread on this territory already. The word of God that spoke the universe into being holds it together now. The reason the things appear to be the same is because God spoke it into being that way. God's word that created the universe is holding the order that we see in the universe now. That's why a meteorologist can look at weather patterns and say, expect this to happen. That's why a scientist can observe things and from his observations make some predictions. That's why we have what we have. Because God's word that spoke the universe into being is holding its order now. Third subpoint we see here, verse 5. The scoffers that are saying it's just continuing on as it always did are willingly ignorant that all humanity was destroyed in time past with a flood. They choose to be ignorant of that. We can read our Bibles and see it. It's clear. It happened. You can observe it in science. It happened. It wasn't always happening right like it is now. There was global catastrophe. But they are willingly ignorant of this fact that the earth was once before destroyed with a flood, a global flood. Another thing we see in reference to a universe in constant change, as we look at the future, it is also just as sure that in store for the universe is fire And so we look at these verses here. I should have written the verse down, but it says for the destruction of godly men, ungodly men, pardon me. Fire for the destruction of ungodly men. Brethren and sisters, what we see today is not the way it will always be. And we could look at a lot of other scriptures that tell us that. But I don't think we're going to take the time to do that. What we see today is one era in time. It's one part of God's plan for you and I. It's one part of God's plan for humanity, for the earth, for His creation. Again, the universe is changing. It's not safe to say because it was this way yesterday, it will be this way tomorrow. And we can look back on historical things. You know, September 10, 2001, people were saying the earth is moving on. It's going just like it did. But you know, the following day woke up America. It made them realize that we don't have our lives in our own control. Things do not happen the same one day to the next. But again, people have forgotten that. They're again saying that things have continued, are continuing like they always did. Let's not forget that. The next point I have on to remember is we do not understand God's timetable. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And again, we have a God of order. There are things we can observe, things we can learn. But I don't believe we really understand the timetable of God. God's thoughts are high above our thoughts. God's thoughts go way beyond us. When we think of things like the rapture, we're told that even Christ does not understand what that day is, when that day is. But that doesn't change the fact that it's going to happen. That's a blessing, a blessed thought to the saints. Next point I have, the fourth subpoint under remember. God's delay is not because of slacking, but it's rather a representation of His long-suffering to mankind. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Brethren and sisters, that is what today is all about. That is what today is all about. It's a day wherein God is looking for more to come to repentance. And if you're in a relationship at peace with God, praise the Lord. What a blessed experience. If you're in a relationship at peace with God, you know others that aren't. If you care about them, do something about it. Speak to them. Help them to understand more fully the way of salvation. And I know we can't change the lives of people, but brethren and sisters, let's share God's plan of salvation. That's what today is about. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has placed hands on the earth today in the form of you and I. Yes, His Spirit is here, But that does not exempt us from doing our part. Verse 5, remember that the day of the Lord is coming. This puts a sense of urgency to our calling. This puts a sense of urgency to how I live my life today. This puts a sense of urgency to what I do when I leave the service, what I do Monday to Saturday. You know, our lives are not about Sunday morning. They're about a personal relationship with God that takes us through the week, through each day. Brethren and sisters, the day of the Lord is coming. Our time is short. We don't have time for complacency. We don't have time to just relax in our spiritual lives. The day of the Lord is coming. In the news right now is wildfires in Mendocino, California. Fires out of control. I didn't look at it in the last day or two, but as of Friday, it was still only 30% contained. A fire out of control. It was created with a lightning strike. Brethren and sisters, that's the power of God. We can't fathom. I don't think we can fathom in our minds what this day of the Lord will look like. People have told me that God's not going to burn people up because he's a loving God. But it says right here that God is waiting now to give mankind a chance. He's waiting even when people are spurning his call to give men a chance to come to repentance. And one day, that time of long suffering is going to be over. I think we're going to go into the second main point of the lesson here. What it means for the sinner. I'm going to spend just a little bit of time looking a little more at the day of the Lord. If you turn with me to Isaiah 13:13. Isaiah 13, verse 13, reads like this. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Another verse, Acts 2, verse 20 and 21. Reads like this, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Looking just a little bit at the physical aspects of it. And there's a lot of verses that refer to the day of the Lord. One commonality between them all is they speak of a time of judgment, a time of terror. Acts 2 verse 21 says that not all need to face it unprepared. But that day is going to be a time of terror. A time of, well, it's not going to feel like everything's been going the same as it always has. It's a day when things go into chaos. I say a day, a time when things go into chaos. We said before that our timetables and God's is not the same. The things that science has counted on for so long will no longer be predictable. They're going to take on different patterns. It's a day. And this is my first subpoint. The day of the Lord refers to judgment and destruction. When you think of the day of the Lord, there is judgment and destruction that's going to be happening. The second subpoint here is the long suffering of God has come to an end. Here in 2 Peter 3, we see the Lord is long suffering, and that's why he's waiting. But you go into the next verse, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. He's long suffering. And again, I want to say we don't understand his timetable. One day that's going to end. As a thief in the night, that long suffering is going to be gone. No longer will there be a chance to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, and there will be destruction. The earth will burn. Many people would like to try to tell you. They would like to elaborate on the new heaven and the new earth. And let this part out. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? It's all going to be dissolved. What does that mean to you? And that's the next part of our discussion this morning. Number three, how should the saint respond? Verse one, the first thing it needs to do is stir up our minds. It needs to get us thinking. It needs to help us to take a proactive approach in our thoughts, in our lives. It needs to have an effect in the mind, because that's where our lives, the expression of our lives comes from what's inside. Verse 2, we get our second point from, how should the saint respond? They should heed the words of the prophets and the commandments of the apostles. The prophets have a lot to tell us. A lot which I don't fully understand. But one thing they have told us as saints, so one day Christ will come back for us. And that should be a comforting thought. I've been focusing a lot on the negative, but Christ is going to come back for his saints. What a blessed thought that is. You know, that enough should be inspiration for your life today. That enough should be inspiration for the choices that I make as I go through the week. That should be inspiration for me as I go about the mundane duties of life. Christ is someday coming back for his own. Heed the commandments of the apostles. The apostles have told us. They've made it clear to us. If you go back and read in the book of Acts, or even go back before and read the Gospels, the life of Jesus that the apostles are portraying. There's so much in there for us for today, how we should live our lives today. And you know, as we study that and live that, it gives us an assurance that we are Christ, and that Christ will someday come and claim his own. How should the saint respond? We do not need to respond in fear, because we have the words of the apostles that tell us how to live today. Third subpoint. How should the saints respond? Verse 11. Seeing then, goes on to say, what manner of persons ought ye to be We need to be holy and godly. Our conversation, which means our lives, our conduct, needs to be holy and godly. What more need I say? We have the Bible that tells us how to do this. There are many people that would like to hold saints out there. Those were the holy ones. Those are the godly ones. And they'll help me. We have that backwards. They have that backwards. The saints today are the people I'm looking at right here that are putting in practice what Jesus taught and the apostles confirmed. These are the saints today. And it says that these people are going to be holy and godly. Sounds like a high calling. And brethren and sisters, it is. But God gives us the power to do that. God gives us the grace to do that. Fourth subpoint I have under here is found in verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. And I have, in my words, said urgently look for the day of God. Maybe I should say urgently look for the coming of Christ to claim his own. That is what we as believers need to look for. In some days, things are troubling. Some days God allows pain to come into our lives. Some days we're afflicted physically, or our spirits are afflicted. But I think God allows that to help us to more urgently look for his coming. This is not our paradise. This is not where we want to spend our future. No. God has something much better in plan for us, in store for us. And so let's urgently look for that. You know, when the going gets tough, remember, God's promises are true. And this will one day come to an end. Verse 13, closely related. We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Let's look for a new heaven and a new earth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. What's going to dwell there? Righteousness. Is a new heaven and the new earth all of a sudden going to make everyone righteous? No, I think that's the cart before the horse. The righteous will dwell in the new heaven and the new earth. We see here a time that excels our understanding, but a time that will be glorious. A time that you and I want to remember according to these verses. Okay. The sixth one I find in verse 14 says, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And I summarize that in my own words, be diligent in peace, spotless and blameless. That is more than I can do of my own power. But again, God empowers us. God gives us what we need. He gives us his spirit to help us through. Diligent in peace. Why does it call attention to that? I think it's because we struggle with that. We struggle with being at peace among our fellow brethren. We struggle with keeping peace in our hearts when there's turmoil around us. But this verse says, be diligent in peace. It's something God wants us to have, something God wants us to experience. Without spot and blameless. Can you keep that peace? When you look back on your peace record, is it spotless? If you're looking at yourself, your own carnal accomplishments, I can tell you right now, it's not spotless. My peace history is not spotless. And knowing that you all have a carnal nature, I don't believe yours is either. But when we put that under the blood, when we look at it from the perspective of God, and put it under the blood, we can claim a perfect peace, something that will take us through, something that will last through eternity. Okay, the seventh one I have here is found in verse 15, and I have summarized it up. Redeem the time by sharing salvation with others. What shall we do in this eclipse of time that we have before time comes to an end, time as we know it? Let's redeem the time by sharing salvation with others. Brothers and sisters, again, I say time is short. Signs of the times are everywhere. You don't have to look far to realize that this earth is not going to go on as it always, as it, quote, always has, because I say, quote, because it has not always gone this way. Let's sense the urgency of the hour. And as we live at peace with God, reach out to others. Share the good news of salvation. You know, finally, when eternity comes, the souls of others is all that you have to take with you. Let's be diligent. The eighth one I have here is found in verse 17. And that is a challenge to beware, lest ye be led away of the error of the wicked. Brothers and sisters, the possibility is very real that if I let my guards down, if I do not live my life in Christ, this will be my outcome. I'm not saying this to instill fear, because we have the Spirit of God that is faithful in helping us as we need help. But I'm saying this to instill an urgency in your personal life with God. These verses were not given to the heathen. These verses are given to the saints, to the believers. Beware lest ye be led away of the error of the wicked. Verse 18, my ninth point, grow in grace and in knowledge, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful capstone for the whole theme. Let's grow. Let's grow in grace. Let's become more and more like our Savior. Let's allow Him to work in our hearts and lives. Let's allow Him to grow our knowledge. Brothers and sisters, the day of the Lord is coming. What should that make you do? It should make you do just what this verse here says. Strive to grow. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And my prayer is for each of us that that is what we would choose to do as we remember that the day of the Lord is coming. Let's not forget as we go about our week, Christ is coming. And then grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.